We will call Senate Resources meeting to order. Present at the table, Senator Stevens, Senator Wilken, Senator Lincoln, Senator Elton, myself, Senator Torgerson. Today we have before us two bills, Senate Bill 140 and Senate Bill 255. We will start with 140. This is an act relating to regulations and licenses of certain water power development projects. At the committee, I'm going to have Darwin go through the presentation again. We heard this bill last year and held it. But I'll just tell you the background is this is mirroring the state law or federal law that Senator Murkowski had worked on for a number of years to allow some exemptions in hydro projects. So we had some discussion on it last year, and I held it until we worked out some of the difficulties, which we have, I think. So Darwin, if you'll go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and put this on the record for us.
Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Darwin Peterson, staff to Senator John Torgerson. In the 106th Congress, Senator Murkowski sponsored Senate Bill 422, amending the Federal Power Act to provide for Alaska state jurisdiction over small hydroelectric projects. This legislation here before us today transferred to Alaska and only to the state of Alaska licensing and regulatory authority over hydroelectric projects that are 5,000 kilowatts or less. Bringing this regulatory authority closer to home will reduce the great time and expense associated with federal licensing and regulation of small hydro projects in Alaska. The time and money required for federal licensing is virtually prohibitive for some small utility and personal projects. Before Alaska can acquire the jurisdiction from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the legislature must approve this bill and the governor must submit a program to FERC satisfying their regulatory requirements. As Senate Bill 140 is currently drafted, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska would be the regulatory agency responsible. All the current environmental protections required under federal law will still apply and cannot be preempted by this legislation. And even with the passage of this bill, the small hydro projects that would not be eligible for state jurisdiction are those located in Metlakatla, since it's an Indian reservation, conservation units as defined in ANILCA, and rivers designated for the wild and scenic river system. Concludes my testimony, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Darwin, have you contacted Eric Uhl and the power folks that we're having a hearing?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I spoke with Eric Uhl today. He is online.
Oh, he is?
He doesn't have any prepared testimony, but he said he'd be happy to answer questions if the committee desires.
Okay. Questions of Darwin? Senator Elton.
Thanks. And I tried to remember, Mr. Chair, what had happened last time, so it may be I repeat a question or two. Darwin, when you noted in your opening statement that all environmental concerns would be addressed in the same way they are by FERC, I mean, who does it for FERC? Is that, for example, if there is a habitat question, is that done by Fish and Wildlife Service?
Through the chair, Senator Elton, I could take a stab at that, but there's Commissioner Will Abbott from the RCA is online, and he is the RCA's FERC expert, so I understand. If you have some questions about FERC.
I don't have a list of who you have online.
Commissioner Abbott online? No.
But I have online.
My understanding was he wasn't going to be online today.
I don't have anybody online. Do you have anybody online? Is that what you
said?
Oh.
But he may just be at the LIO.
We started on time, so they might be a little bit put back by that. So
I'd be surprised.
It's not usual practice. Well,
we can maybe
tell them a little message to get them signed up. We're in a hurry here.
We can maybe get back to that, Mr. Chair.
I can tell you the problems that were last year.
Part of the concern that I've got is that if in fact, for example, socioeconomic studies were done by the federal government, environmental studies were done by the federal government, part of the concern that I have is what is the structure, what kind of structure do we need to make sure that if it's under the state's jurisdiction, that those same studies be done, as I assume they are from your opening statement, who does them and how it's coordinated. For example, it seems to me that DGC might better be able to coordinate than RCA would.
Through the chair, Senator Elton, FERC has to approve the administration's plan before the state can take over the regulatory responsibility for these small hydro projects. So the governor would have to include that in his plan to FERC as far as maintaining environmental controls that the feds agency would be needed here in Alaska. I assume that would be part of the regulatory process with the administration, as opposed to something that would be described in the bill. I understand your question, though, and I think that Commissioner Abbott would be able to explain to you how FERC does it and how FERC would approve a project for Alaska.
Okay, is Commissioner Abbott online?
Senator, yes, I am.
Okay.
And I'm in Anchorage here, and there's several others. Eric Hill is here with me also.
Good. Our equipment doesn't seem to be as fast as just asking the question. So can you answer the question that was posed by Senator Elton?
To a degree, yes, sir, I can.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me just walk you through a process. There's a project here in the state right now that's going on. It's in the process of going through the FERC licensing. It's a nice little 3.5 megawatt run-of-the-river project taking place down in southeast Alaska. They've been in this process since 1996, and they hope to get it out by the end of this year. So that's a six-year deal. The way that process works, and they're working under what they call the alternative plan, which is supposed to be the streamlined plan, I'll put that in quotes, which amounts to they go through a series of scoping meetings, both public meetings and meetings with the other agencies, both federal and state, that would be involved in the permit. And they, as part of what they do when they're scoping that out, is figuring out who has to do what and during that various process to get them there. They start out with that thing by giving the notice to the FERC that they want to do this. That kind of reserves that site for them for the next 3 years. They go through their scoping, they get all that done, then they apply for their license, and they start through that process with all the reviews by all of the other committees. They, of course, will have to do a number of studies. It may be fish studies, the wildlife, impact to the any other impacts to the environment. Those will be reviewed both by state and federal agencies as they go. What comes out the end is toward the latter part of the process, they end up with a draft environmental impact statement. And then at the end, FERC will finalize that impact statement, and that's pretty much the end of the line, and then they get their license to press on. This particular process looks like they haven't got it in their hands yet, and it's gone fairly smoothly for them, if you want to call it that, by about 6 years is what we hope to get there. One of the other things that it might be interesting to you, I think, is the process when there's a dispute between agencies and or between agencies and the licensee. That's where FERC comes in. FERC is the process, and the staff is working all this before then. But if there's that dispute, then the FERC staff will make recommendations, and the FERC commissioners will then decide the dispute. And they apparently, and I'm not an expert on how that part of it goes, but they apparently have pretty good authority to decide whether or not, you know, if one agency is saying, no, we need more fish studies, and another one disagrees with that, they don't need as much. The FERC commission can then make the decision as to what the process will actually be. And they're kind of the final authority, and they are the final ones to sign out the license to the licensee.
Senator Elton.
Just kind of a follow-up, Mr. Chair. Thanks. Commissioner Abbott, Commissioner Abbott, I'm curious about two things. If this becomes a state process under RCA, I'm assuming then that RCA would operate in much the same way that FERC does, as kind of an umpire then. So if there are interagency disputes that would now go to FERC, they would then go to RCA. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Sorted out exactly how we do it, but that's the way we do business like that all the time. So I don't see how we would change our business. We deal in that way. We don't have as large a staff as FERC does. We have experts in there to do that, so we'd have to rely on both sides feeding us their views of what it ought to be, and then we make the decision. Like I said, that's what we do for a living now, so I don't see it very much with this process.
And one more question for now, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Abbott, I mean, do you envision that, you'll have to forgive me, I know nothing about the FERC process, but do you envision that a lot of the studies that are now being done would be done solely by state agencies? For example, Fish and Game might be doing things that Fish and Wildlife would do under FERC?
Mr. Chair, I don't know for sure.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Abbott, but on directly on the point of whether or not it be the Fish and Wildlife or our habitat, isn't that more or less predicated on who owns the land that's going to be affected by this? We're not going to do federal studies, and the federal government isn't going to do ours on any of these projects on our land, I wouldn't think.
Mr. Chairman, no, sir, I would agree, but I think that's what happens in those scoping meetings. I think in a lot of cases it's known until they sit down with those and work out exactly where it sits and who has interest and power over those before you sort out who's going to do what.
Okay. I would guess that. I'll agree with that. But I think most of this will be dictated by authorities that already granted those. This doesn't change or delineate any of the authority that Fish and Wildlife might have in doing their job if it happened to be a scoping study that they're required to do.
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir, I agree. That's the way the federal legislation leaves all that empty. So it looks like a safe thing.
Okay. What I have one more question. Did you guys get me a new fiscal note?
No, sir, we haven't given one.
What's the holdup?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. That's better, and then we'll be here someday, I guess. All right. Do you have any testimony, Mr. Abbott? I'll just go and get the testimony from the folks that we have there. Do you have any just general testimony for us, sir?
I don't know about any of the rest of it. I would make one other comment, sir, about the process that we get there. We have to go through the regulation process of our own writing and all that. That's not going to be an insignificant task to get all of the state agencies to work with, figure out what we have to do, and we're going to have some, I think, some fairly significant commitment from FERC as to what they will or will not let us do.
Right.
So I see a lot of stamp time, if you wish, trying to get these regulations written.
Yeah, we're going to make you a partner with them on the pipeline, so maybe you can work on this at the same time.
Thank you very much.
You have nothing else to do.
It's one of our requests, anyway. Is your position neutral or support to the bill, or what is your position on the bill?
My position on the bill, sir, is that I think it's a good thing. The devil's in that detail.
Yes, I understand that. We know you're capable of working those details out. All right, let me go to Keith Bea.
Yes, that's me.
Okay, you have any testimony for us?
Well, I wasn't planning to testify, but I would make a comment to the question just asked.
Keith, would you go ahead and introduce yourself and your affiliation for the record, please?
I'm Keith Beha. I'm a steering committee chairman for the Alaska Public Waters Coalition.
Okay, thank you, sir.
I'm a retired fish and wildlife biologist, retired after 37 years with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and have, in those years, participated in FERC licensing procedures as a Fish and Wildlife Service employee.
Okay, sir.
In response to the question that someone asked there, I don't believe the FERC funds, well, I know the FERC does not fund or Congress fund the Fish and Wildlife Service to do studies pertinent to a project that would be covered by this act. They would review the studies that the applicant arranged to have done through probably a private consultant.
Okay, sir. Thank you for that clarification. The next we'll go to Jack Hessen. Oh, all right, thanks, Jack, for that. Eric Ewell. Thank you, and we've had this conversation before on that, and you know, it's not my intent to move this to DNR, but on that point, Commissioner Abbott, could I just so we get it on the record, if I know you don't have the dam safety personnel, the hydrologists or engineers on staff, but it would be your intent to hire somebody, or I mean, you have to do this in today's line of work and the other things that you do, so talk about that a little bit. But isn't this, don't you run into this in other applications on issues that you deal with today?
Yes, sir, we do.
The point I'm trying to make, this is not new territory for you. If you don't have the people on staff, then you'll contract it out. So I'm just trying to alleviate the concerns that Eric has raised, that DNR, because they have an engineer or hydrologist, is the only one that can do it. And I know he didn't say the only one, but I think in your normal work arrangement that you're doing now, you have to do this. So I don't see it as a barrier.
Yes, sir, we do.
Okay, thank you. And then, Eric, do you have any other testimony?
Not at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Now, we talked about the opt-in, opt-out last year, and which was a major stumbling point, and we're not going to put that in the bill. I did have the opportunity to talk to Senator Murkowski about that last year, he had no idea how that would work, which I didn't either when we talked about it. So. That's the other issue that I had down. That, and the last one was a sunset date that you had brought up last year, and you know, I don't, this bill's got a lot of way, long way to go, not the bill, but the regulatory process and the process with FERC, and I'm not sure that it's appropriate to start the negotiations that would take to get this through the federal government and have a sunset on it. But I would suggest that instead of a sunset, if it becomes an unyieldy law, that we just repeal it. Senator Elton.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. A question for Eric. Eric, I mean, I guess I didn't hear you, and maybe I'm reading between the lines, but I'm assuming that your testimony is designed to make us think that this could be a faster and cheaper way for applicants who want to start a project.
Well, if that's a question, I certainly think the potential is there. I will also say, however, that our members have taken a certain amount of solace in having a third independent body, which is FERC, that has the authority to stand up to both the federal and the state agencies and make them be realistic in what their expectations are in the way of studies and processes. Once we have received licenses for projects, found ourselves at the mercy of state agencies who sometimes are not friendly at all to the very notion and concept of hydropower and make the projects or make the utilities that are talking about them make their life quite miserable. And if those same people then have some sort of inordinate other authority under this program that would actually slow down or stop the project, then in that regard, I'd have to say we don't want it. That is our biggest concern, is that depending upon who's at the helm of the state government, if there's some sort of general attitude toward hydropower development that's elicited from the top, that could impact how very long it takes for a project to get through the process, if at all. So FERC is a system that we know. It's an independent arbiter. We've come to trust them. We feel that they're fair on both sides. They make us do all the environmental and socioeconomic studies. At the same time, they don't make the resource agents, or they ensure that the resource agencies don't request such an inordinate amount of assessments that it kills the project.
Okay. Thanks, Eric. Do you have any other testimony? Thank you. The last on teleconference, second to last, is Gary Prochek. Okay, thank you. Bob Poe is online, and my note says just for questions. Is that? Do you have any testimony, Mr. Poe?
I don't at the moment, Senator. I'm just listening in.
Thanks. I know that last year we were considering moving this under your authority, but I don't think that's what we're looking at right now. But I appreciate you taking the time to be online.
Thank you.
Well, we thought you had some spare time, so we'll give you another project. No, I'm joking. All right. That's all we have on teleconference. Is that all in Anchorage then? Or anybody else on? You're hearing none? Okay. Thank you. Sally Sadler from... You want to tell us what you're thinking about today?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Sally Sadler. I'm the legislative liaison for the Department of Community and Economic Development. What I'd like to share with you this afternoon is that we do believe we had an interagency meeting most recently. The agencies included were the Department of Natural Resources, Fish and Game, Governmental Coordination, the Regulatory Commission along, I don't know if I said DEC. But anyhow, we do believe that RCA is the appropriate agency to assume a lot of these roles. And I'd like to just share with you a little bit about what happened in that meeting. When the federal legislation was pending, the governor did support giving Alaska this jurisdiction over this FERC, this state-operated FERC program. And at the same time, the governor recognized that this is, in fact, a very complex undertaking, and we want to be sure that the state program does result in the proper design and construction, along with protecting the fish and wildlife, as they say, at least as well or as rigorously as FERC does. The agencies are in the process right now of getting a handle, trying to understand what that FERC process is about, because right now we understand our roles and duties under the existing federal program. What we need to be doing is looking at what additional duties, statutes, and regulatory authority may be needed to go ahead and operate a state version of this FERC program. For example, FERC has jurisdiction over watersheds, entire watersheds, whereas Fish and Game right now, their jurisdiction applies only to stream beds. So these these are the kind of things we need to examine with respect to the FERC program to understand the cost implications and program details if we were to take over this kind of a state program. I think the last thing that I would like to mention is just the cost considerations of operating a program. We did discuss briefly that we're going to need to be able to balance those user fees with the possibility of any need for direct appropriations at a time when revenues may not exactly be equal to expenditures. It's our understanding that the state of Oregon does have a small state-run hydro program, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is something we hope to get a copy of and see if we can get some ideas and insights into what they're doing to be able to operate this kind of program. I do have today with me several of our member agencies, Fish and Game, Natural Resources, online and available if you do have any questions pertinent to the individual agencies. But with that, thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Questions? There are none. Let me send it off.
Just a quick one, and it's on the fiscal note, and you may want to bounce this back to Commissioner Abbott. But it seems to me that the fiscal note contemplates half of a position that would be analyzing water power applications. I would anticipate that as you put the recipe together for state regulation, that it's going to take a considerable amount of work up front, and wonder if there is going to be a fiscal note that reflects the amount of work that needs to be done by all of the agencies.
Chair, Senator Elton, yes, that's one of the things we did talk about last year when I spoke with Chairman Thompson, who I did, I believe, testified in front of the committee. We looked at this as more of a straightforward regulatory adopting process, and since we've had a chance to work with our member agencies and get a little better understanding what FERC is about, we believe we will be redoing our fiscal note, and it may be a little more substantial than what we have.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Don't make it too much. We'll zero it out. This is part of your normal duties.
Those other duties as assigned.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I appreciate the fiscal note that it is. It may go up a little bit because we've increased salaries some, but I don't expect it to be substantially bigger than what it has now, assuming we're still only going to have one of these every other year. It's not like we're building them all over the place. So
you certainly will look at doing the job and doing it well.
Well, just for what it's worth, to counteract for what it's worth from my partner down the road here, don't make that fiscal note too big.
But make it fair, right, Mr. Chairman?
I want it fair.
You want to do the job right.
Fairly small.
Fairly small, that's right. Okay. Other questions? Anybody else online? Anybody else here? Senator Wilkins.
Mr. Chairman, I move to report Senate Bill 140 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note dated 3/20/2001.
Okay, we realize that there will be a fiscal note catch up to this in finance, and it'll be more current. But either the motion to move the bill from committee, is there objections? And then Senate Bill 140 moves on to the next committee referral. Next, we have Senate Bill 255. This is introduced by Senator Green by request. This is an act relating to exchange of state land interest or property for other land interest or consideration, approving an exchange of land between the state and Gold Cord Development Corporation. Go ahead, Jerry. Introduce yourself for the record and give us the testimony.
Yeah, for the record, my name is Jerry Burnett. I'm staff to Senator Lyda Green, the sponsor of Senate Bill 255. Senate Bill 255 provides for legislative approval of an unequal land exchange between the state of Alaska and Gold Cord Incorporated, and incorporates a proposed change to land trade statutes to remove legislative approval for unequal land exchanges with a value of less than $5 million. Alaska State Parks has been working since 1978 to develop an opportunity for private reuse and management of historic buildings at Independence Mine State Park. To facilitate road access to the underground mine tour, the state of Alaska sought an exchange with Gold Cord Incorporated, the owner of a critical section of the road. The state held an easement across the property. It was not of sufficient size to accommodate anticipated reconstruction to provide for bus access. In addition, Gold Cord held a federal mining claim that extended into the existing park boundaries. The exchange has been agreed to by all parties. The state trades away no land but provides the process by which Gold Cord can receive fee title to 19 acres of land valued at $63,000, currently held by Gold Cord as federal mining claims. The state receives about 6 acres of land valued at $68,500 from Gold Cord. Because the state brought no land to trade and because final values are not equal, the transaction requires the legislative approval. The difference here is $5,500. The Alaska legislature has approved another unequal value exchange at the Independence Mine State Park between the State of Alaska and Alaska Hard Rock Incorporated for access in the year 2000. In addition to the gold cord trade approval, Senate Bill 255 allows for administrative approval of land trades with a value of under $5 million. Currently, by statute, unequal exchanges that do not benefit the State of Alaska are not allowed. Only unequal exchanges that benefit the state are allowed. And any land exchange, whether equal or unequal in value, involves only willing participants. Under existing statute, even though all parties agree and the state comes out ahead, unequal exchanges must still receive legislative approval. Any exchange, equal or unequal, over $5 million in state value under this bill would still come before the legislature for approval. And since the exchange must benefit the state in any case, unequal value exchanges under the $5 million level could be accomplished administratively to enhance efficiency under the terms of this legislation. I believe there's people from the Department of Natural Resources, like Jim Stratton, should be online to answer questions.
Why, Jerry, are we deleting the lines on 17 and 18 on page 2?
Which one? Where?
Well, you're doing a little bit more here than just authorizing the land exchange, and I want to know why we're doing that.
Okay. As I said in the sponsor statement, any land exchange must be a benefit, whether it's unequal or equal in value, has to be a benefit for the state of Alaska. And so in order to enhance the efficiency, the Department of Natural Resources, and this bill was by request, requested the section that would allow for administrative approval of unequal land exchanges. That is the policy decision for the legislature.
Well, what happens if we delete that section and just approve your land exchange? Aren't we doing what you want to do?
That's doing exactly what Senator Green wants to do, and that's actually between you and the Department of Natural Resources.
Well, they haven't issued any what they want to do, but the conspiracy theory starts to work on me on what else comes down that's not in front of me when I see that kind of stuff. So, and I'm not a conspiracy theory kind of guy, but
you're getting there.
I'm going to pick on you for a while first. Okay, is there other questions, Mr. Bennett? Okay, Jerry, thank you. Let's go to the teleconference, and we have Jim Stratton somewhere.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Jim Stratton, Director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, and I'm just here to answer any questions you might have about our plans in the Independence
Mine. Is there questions? Seeing none, thank you, sir. And next, we have Ron Swanson from the Mat-Su Borough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ron Swanson. I'm the Director of Community Development for the Mat-Su Borough. We strongly support this land exchange at Independence Mine. We feel it fully complements our plan of ski resort development that's located close by and make the area a very good tourist destination facility. This exchange has been endorsed by our Borough Assembly in a resolution that they passed on January 15th. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Questions of Mr. Swanson? There are none. Thank you, sir. Now, Carol, come up and tell us what you're trying to sneak in here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the department came forward with that.
Introduce yourself, please, for the record.
My name is Carol Carroll, and I'm the Director of Administrative Services at the Department of Natural Resources. The department put the section that you are concerned about before the legislature because we have done a couple in the last couple of years, mostly in Hatcher Pass. And they are, we do bring them before the legislature, they are small cost. It always has to be to the benefit of the state. And for your consideration as a policy decision, we put it forward. You can pull it if you'd like. I mean, we don't have any real need for that to happen. It just would have been administratively more efficient.
Are you in favor of the bill without that section in there?
Okay. Certainly.
All right. Is there questions of Carol? Thank you. Senator Halford, is there a motion?
Back up faster than we
can.
Yeah,
I know.
That makes it pretty good.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we strike section 2.
Okay. Amendment number one has been offered, which is basically to strike section two from the bill. Is there a discussion on the motion? Senator Elton.
For us that may be slower than the rest, I just want to make sure I understand the net effect of that. The net effect of that is that in future cases where the value is greater to the state than the other landowner, we would have to go through this process again. If, in fact, we didn't strike Section 2, it gives them the administrative latitude to just make a decision on their own without coming to us.
That's the way I understand it.
That is correct. But the value includes the other values to the state, which may be subjective.
Right.
Other considerations, that part. And I think the other, I agree with Senator Halford, the other considerations would be nice to know.
And the value difference with the $5 million cap could be $4 million. Okay.
Okay, we still have amendment number one. Is there further discussion? Is there objection to the adoption of amendment number one? Hearing none, that's so adopted. Any other discussion on the bill? Senator Wilkins.
Mr. Chairman, move to report Senate Bill 255 as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Okay, a motion to move Senate Resources substitute for Senate Bill 255. Is there objection? Seeing none, that will be moved from committee. Well, that is all we had on the schedule today. So while we're waiting for that to be passed around, I will tell you we have a joint meeting on, no meeting on Monday. Wednesday, we have a joint with the Resources and the Joint Committee on Natural Gas Pipelines. We are going to hear an overview of the Department of Revenue on the state financial participation in the gas line, and then the gas supply study and the natural gas NGL value study, which will take place in Senate Finance at our regular time. Then on the 15th, next Friday, we have no meeting scheduled, but we do have a joint committee of the Natural Gas Pipeline, which some members here serve on also. We will be talking with the FERC attorney that we've just recently put on and go over some questions and answers that we have them working on. And also we will have a resolution drafted for changing our position from neutral or from opposed for the federal legislation to support for the pipeline producers legislation. So be an important meeting, and you're all welcome to come anyway, but it'll be mainly the pipeline group that will be dealing with the resolution. And we will introduce the bill of Senate Resources at the request of the Pipeline Committee, or the resolution, or whatever it is. All right. Senator Wilkins.
Mr. Chairman, I look forward to working with you on the Resources Committee. I'm glad to be here with this sterling group. And I'd like to introduce, for your knowledge and for others, the staff person that will be helping. Erie, would you stand up, please? This is Erie Morgan, and Erie is going to help me with this committee. So,
okay.
If so, I don't know the answer, Erie does.
Erie's a go-to guy.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. We will stand adjourned. Thank you.